WMFO Medford. Well, good afternoon, folks. Hope everybody out there is having a great day. It's been a very rocky one for me. Oh, my gosh. So, well, it's a little chilly out there, a little breezy, but no snow yet, so that's a good thing. I just had a totally obnoxious situation. I switched my cable provider and internet and all of that, and I tried to cancel the one I had. Oh my God, don't ask. It's so obnoxious. So not only did I not get it canceled, but it screwed up my debit card, because this is bizarre. They wanted me to click on something from my credit card provider with an amount that wasn't the amount that they told me. And so I said no. So then they canceled my card. Don't ask. That, besides which, I was trying to get my streaming service on my TV, and this guy kept wanting me to put in account information. It was just, you know, you could just go crazy with all these things. I don't know. I don't know what the heck it's all about. Let me check my handy-dandy book here and see what announcements. This is WMFO Medford, and this is the Voicemobile. I am Joyce the Voice. I think I am. I was out for the last couple of weeks. I had a lousy, or I guess a good, whatever, a cold and sore throat. And so, let's see what this says. Doorknobs, restrooms, telephones, keyboards, other people. What do these things have in common? They are all easy ways for you to pick up and pass along germs. How appropriate. Germs that could lead to colds and flu. Uh-huh. Now, you can't spend your days avoiding contact with everything, but you can take a few important steps to protect yourself. Washing your hands is one of the best and easiest ways to avoid catching or spreading colds and flu. Keeping your hands and the surfaces you touch clean protects not only you, it also protects those around you. That's a good thing. A few extra minutes a day is all it takes to put your health first. For more on avoiding the flu, talk to your doctor or visit massmed.org and click Your Health First. This public message brought to you by the Massachusetts Medical Society and us folks here at WMFO. All right. WMFO Medford. Yes, Tufts Educational Radio. So I'm going to start us off with some music from a soundtrack. And I might play more than one track because they're not really very long. It's The Secret of Rowan Anish. This is a nod for all the Irish folks.
Couple is thought of us. Ben olmayla kalmayla harmaydı niyat Kapalı salsılız taraf kan var
That was The Return to Rona Nish 1 and Fiona. So beautiful, beautiful music there. The music is by Mason Daring, and this is a CD on Rounder Records. Distributed by Rounder Records. It's Daring Records, and it's out of Marblehead, Massachusetts. Interesting. Okay, so... So we're just about ready for the Purim festivities, those of us who observe, and I want to share a little bit about some of the aspects of the holiday. So, let's see. There are a couple of different things. The first thing is there's a fast. It's called Tanit Esther, and the fast of Purim is held on one of the days prior to Purim, so it'll be tomorrow, and it's a day immediately before Purim. What happens is Esther, Queen Esther, agrees to see the king, but she was uninvited, which, you know, is a very, you know, if you went to see the king, this is in Persia, King Ahasuerus, if you went to see the king uninvited, that was punishable by death. And so that's very scary, actually. So she went to see him, and then she asked the Jewish people to fast for 3 days beforehand. It's not a fast of sadness. Rather, the purpose of the fast is elevation and inspiration. So that's one aspect. Then Shabbat Zachor, that's the Sabbath of Remembrance. It's the Shabbat immediately preceding Purim. So that's the Shabbos, the Saturday. Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 19, at the end of Parshat Kitsese, describing the attack on the weakest by Amalek. It's recounted. There is a tradition from the Talmud that Haman, the antagonist of the Purim story, was descended from Amalek. The portion that is read includes a commandment to remember the attack by Amalek, and therefore, at this public reading, both men and women make a special effort to hear the reading. So, there's another custom called Machatzit HaSekel. Masechit HaShekel. On Tanit Esther, that's on the fast day, before Mincha, it is customary to give the Machatzit HaShekel, it's a amount of money. It's half of the standard currency of the country, so it'd be like half a dollar. Half a shekel is about 10 grams of silver, or approximately $8. This year, it will occur on Motzei Shabbos, so after Shabbos. Matanot le'avyonim. This mitzvah is fulfilled by giving money to at least two poor people on the actual day of Purim. It need not be given directly to a poor person, but can be given to a community representative who will distribute the money on Purim Day. So it's a custom to band together so that if you have a rav or rabbi of your community or teacher, you give the money to him, and he sends it to whatever donation is going to be, and it's given on the day of Purim. So that's how it's done. And let's see if there's anything else here. So I know that there is a... let's see, I just lost my little thing here. We don't need that. We can get rid of that. So Lair House, which is on, let's see. They give the address here, Lair House. Okay, so they're on Washington Street in Somerville, 425 Washington Street. This is the restaurant that's opened up at least a year ago, and they also have classes, they have a library there. So they're having a party, opening the doors at 8:30. So this is, I think it's Motzei Shabbos, Saturday night, yeah, to celebrate Purim and 1 year of Lair House. There's going to be music from Frank London's Klezmer Brass All-Stars. Wow, that is very huge. And housemade Hamantaschen, Purim-themed drinks, and, of course, festive costumes. So that should be fun. So Hamantaschen is a traditional food that is consumed. Some say it looks like Haman's ears, the bad guy. And it's dough folded up in a triangle with either mun, a poppy seed, or pruin, or different fruits inside. And it's very fun. So I hope to attend to Lair House. Should be probably quite a scene. And that should be fun. I'm trying to think. So, of course, the Chabad houses and the Hillel and all the different synagogues are going to have services. It's a custom to hear the Megillah two times, one at night and another time during the day. And it's also a custom to have a seuda, a festive meal during the day. So there's something else that I want to since we're talking about festive things. So there's a club, Feldman Geospatial's Jazz Night in Roxbury. They have Jazz Night and a brewery, and this is a very happening scene. I haven't made it there yet, but they had Mango Blue. They had a reunion. They had that Saturday night, and I guess everybody was dancing. It was a lot of fun. So let's see who's coming up. So Thursday, March 21st, so that's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, the Nick Isherwood Trio. And then on Alon Yavnai Quintet is going to be on Thursday. That's next Thursday, March 28th at 6 o'clock. I think, is that right? Yeah, because this is, today is the 20th. That's right. Okay, so that should be good. I might try to make that one. I don't know. I'm still kind of laying a little bit low because, like I said, I had this nasty cold and sore throat. Now, April 11th, Rebecca Klein Trio are going to be in. And Combo Sabroso on Thursday, April 18th. Teresa Inez Quartet on Thursday, April 25th. So Thursday night is their main night for having gigs. And the Fringe are going to be in there Thursday, May 9th. Fabulous. Okay, so lots and lots of Claudio Regazzi Quartet, Thursday, May 30th. And Let's see if they give the address. It's in Roxbury. Let's see. I'm looking. Where is the address? Maybe it's at the very end of this. It's giving all kinds of bios on all these different groups, which is wonderful. Thanks to Sue O'Claire. She's the publicist. Okay, so it doesn't give. Why doesn't it give the address? Okay, so Roxbury. Okay, here we go. 152 Hampden Street in Boston. Hampden, H-A-M-P-D-E-N. And it's the Feldman Geospatial, I guess it's called. So you can go online to them. Feldman's Geospatial, Jazz Night. That's wonderful. And, huh, so it looks like, what? Oh, okay, that's good. That's, all right, so I was on this government affordable connectivity program for people above 55 who, you know, don't have functions, and now they've discontinued it. It's so annoying. And just want to see if there's another bunch of events going on. The Eli Elie Wiesel Center, that wasn't what I wanted. Okay, so that was just the confirmation, not the actual email. So, let's see. Well, I'm sure there's more stuff in here that I need to tell you, but till I find out where it is. Oh, God. All right, let's see. I think I'll share a little bit more about the holiday of Purim from this wonderful book by Avraham Sutton, The Reality of God in Our Lives. Now, how do you like that? Okay, so let's see. What are we going to share here? This is a very, very deep. A lot of people think that Purim is just like, you know, costumes and getting drunk and silly, and it's actually a lot more deep stuff to it. Esther, this is the queen, in the Beit HaSalamim, on the psycho-spiritual ascent of the soul out of the depths of exile and alienation. So that's really what we're talking about here. The collective and the cosmic divine revealed through the prism of the individual. Ha, let's see what he says. Hide and seek. The Scroll of Esther, which is read, is called Megillat Esther. In addition to their simple meaning, however, these words also refer to two complementary ways that God runs the world. Megillah is from the root galue, revealed. Esther is from the root hester, hidden, encoded, and concealed. The Scroll of Esther is about the interplay between these two modes of divine providence, the revealed and the concealed. More specifically, it is about the way God reveals his presence in the midst of utter concealment. Behind the scenes, it tells us he is with us in a much deeper way than we ever could have conceived. Realizing this leads to ever greater levels of revelation. Well, we could all use a little bit of that. The English word history, it also contains this idea. History shares the same consonants as Hester. History is God's hidden story, and earth is the stage upon which this story is worked out, where God plays hide-and-seek with man. In addition, history is really his story, God's story, the divine drama unfolding and becoming manifest through the events and the characters of our lives. The Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Israel ben Eliezer, 1698 to 1760, told many parables about God's hiding and wanting to be sought and found. One such parable involves a little boy and his father. This is very sweet. A father wanted to watch his son from a hidden spot. At play with his friends one day, without any warning, the son felt his father's presence. Turning around, he caught sight of his father's face disappearing around the corner. He had sensed his father's eyes on him, turned around and actually seen his father for a moment. Feeling how good it was to have such a father, he lapsed into a reverie for a moment. His friends, who did not see his father as he did, called him back to the game. Coming down out of the clouds, he returned to his game and forgot his father. Another day, the father again wanted the pleasure of seeing his son play with his friends. Standing hidden behind a tree, he watched his son until the boy, sensing his father's presence, again began to think of his father. How special it would be to see father now, he thought to himself. At that very moment, he turned around just in time to see his father disappear behind the tree. Father, he called out, I was thinking of you. I know my son, and I'm glad. Can I come to you, father? The boy urged. No, my son, I must go now. The time will come. Return now to play with your friends. Time passes. The same scene repeats itself again and again. The little boy becomes a young man. Now he plays all kinds of different games. Now he doesn't think about his father very often. Once, however, he begins to feel that old familiar sensation. Oh, where is my father? He pines. It has been such a long time since I have seen him. And just as before, out of nowhere, he catches sight of someone pulling back behind a tree. It's my father, he cries out. And this time, no longer content to return to his game, he decides he will finally leave off playing with his friends to search for his father. As I have always understood it, this parable works on two levels. On one level, it involves history, specifically the history of Israel, and generally the history of mankind. The recurring instances in the parable of a father peeking around a corner and then disappearing are the open miracles recorded in the Tanakh in the Bible, as well as the repeated instances throughout our history when Hashem has revealed his hand and saved us from near annihilation. The final decision on the part of the main character to finally actively seek his father, precisely after years of having become alienated from him, corresponds to the final generation before Mashiach. On another level, this parable is about you and me. It tells us that each and every human being has a personal relationship with the Creator of the world. It tells us about those times when the Creator sends us messages to remind us that the reason we were sent to this earth plane was to seek Him, even when He is most hidden. We, however, have gotten totally involved in our games. In one sense, that's fine. He doesn't want us to leave off from playing out the final games of our lives. If upon receiving the first reminder we were to abandon the game level of life, it would be premature. It is therefore not what He wants. What does He want? What He does want is that we begin to maintain an awareness of His presence in our lives, even as we play our games. He wants the games we play to become informed games, informed with the consciousness of eternity. At first, God wants us to know that He is with us as we continue to play out our earthly roles. He is here with us in the fabric of our lives, in the concealment of Olam Hazeh, this world. After we fully internalize the lessons we were sent here to learn, we may turn our attention away from the games of this world and focus more fully on our direct connection with our Father. In the meantime, to ensure that we, our souls, are not totally swallowed up in these games, even the good ones, two precious gifts were given to us. One is called Tefillah, prayer, the other called Torah. In truth, it is only through the Torah that we learn how to pray and what to pray for. For the Torah is not merely a book, but a living fountain of wisdom through which Hashem teaches us what He wants, which is none other than to reveal Himself in the world through the inner pipelines of the human heart and consciousness. Prayer is discovering that deep place in our hearts where we want the same thing that God wants. In Tefillah, especially the Amidah, the silent standing prayer, we connect directly to our heavenly source, Even as we stand here in Olam Hazeh, this world, we realize that we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to go up to heaven. We must merely remove the barriers in our mind that prevent us from knowing that heaven is the inner reality behind the earthly. Through prayer, we realize that we are always in God's presence. Through prayer, we become B'nai Olam Haba, children of eternity, here and now. Through Torah, we connect with Hashem in yet another way. We connect to the great souls who have walked this earth and merited us to play crucial roles in the unfolding of the godly plan. For that is what the Torah, including the entire Nach, including the books of the prophets and the scrolls of Ruth and Esther, is all about. Human beings who played larger than human roles. It is through them that we too can realize why we are here and participate in the final scenes of the great drama called history. It is through the Torah that we know ourselves as sparks or bites of their great souls. This is perhaps why the Mishnah states, one who reads the Megillah L'mafrech does not fulfill his obligation. The simple meaning of L'mafrech is out of order or backwards or retroactively. If someone starts the Megillah somewhere in the middle and then returns to the beginning, he has not fulfilled the obligation. It was left to the Baal Shem Tov to reveal to us the deeper level of meaning that is implied in the word L'mafrech. If one reads the Megillah L'mafrech, thinking that it is about a story that happened a long way back in time, and doesn't realize that it is happening now, he has missed the point of the whole thing. With this said, we'll now try to penetrate to a deeper level of understanding of the Megillah, in which we shall uncover clues regarding some of the deepest mysteries of our own lives. Okay, so we'll stop here. That was from Purim Light, The Reality of God in Our Lives, by Rabbi Avraham Sutton, who is an incredible teacher. And I've had the privilege of learning with him, although not in a while. I'm just looking to see. I have some new music here, Sugi Lanen, and I gave some rather extensive liner notes about this. And let's see. It says the name itself means story in one of the Philippine ethno-linguistic groups of the family of Cebuano language. So this is by Caroline Julia Cabading. She is a Filipina culture bearer. So heartfelt love for the Filipino community has kept Caroline Julia Cabading on the advocacy path as a culture bearer since 2004. As a fourth generation Filipina and San Franciscan, she represents her heritage through nonprofit leadership. Well, they give a whole lot of information, but I think let's just have a listen. It gives a lot of liner notes here. But let's see. Let's see what we have here. So we'll start with maybe the first... see if that's going to work here. I think, yeah, it wasn't quite ready. Ana Suligano.
Ang Sugilanon ni San Francisco. A story of San Francisco. Thank you. Long ago, there was a man from the region of Cebu, a clever and carefree man. Like fine wine, his words were smooth, his guitar a seduction, his features handsome and proud. Never leave Cebu, he vowed. And yet he loved adventure. A merchant seaman was he. His route was San Francisco, when Maximo went to sea. Take me to America, his brother begged him one day. Please, please, let me stow away. The journey was rough, you know. Little brother was quite weak. He died on the way over. For Maximo, all was bleak. I'll live little brother's dream, said Max in a fit of pique. Brother's story I will speak. He found other Visayans, survived Quake 1906, became an American. Fate does have its funny tricks. Survived the first pandemic, charmed as he was in his way. Cebu, now so far away.
Ayayam kuun paleke, malese wap silapi, sela oi. Ayayam kuun palilong, malese biok silopong, sela oi. Despite his hurdles, because he's still free, even now. My soulmate is a one-eyed cat. He jumps that fence, and he don't look back, because he's still free, even now. And they show me how to stay strong, as I try to right what went wrong. And they teach me how to not ask why, how to not ask why. You know my soulmate is a wingless bird. He rules his roots with his lovely words, because he's still free, even now. Why? How to not ask why? with his lovely words, because he's still free even now.
I am kuun paliki, malese wapsi lafi.
Thank you.
after you. Who could supply my sky blue after you? Who could I love after you? Why would I take the time to try for who else could qualify after you? Take my hand and swear you'll never cease to care for that you there. What could I do? Could search years, but who else could change my tears into laughter after you?
You.
Okay, that was Jenny Barnett, After You Who. It's a Cole Porter composition from her CD, Under My Skin, in reimagining Cole Porter. She is going to be appearing at the City Winery on Thursday, April 18th, 7:30 show, and the doors open at 6. Tickets are on sale now. She's worked with Linda Ronstadt, Ricky Lee Jones, Celine Dion, Ronnie Raitt, and Jimmy Buffett, among many others. She's been on Saturday Night Live with Ricky Lee and all kinds of things. She's going to have a 7-piece orchestra with her, including Mark Shalansky, Marty Ballou, Sarah Caswell, Joe Walsh, Larry Saltzman, Gary Schreiner, plus special guest David Thorne Scott. So I hope to be at that show, and I think we're going to see if she has time to come up for an interview. So that should be very fun. Before that, we heard of a new CD from Alan Dennard called Flashback, and it said it's a series of original compositions composed by Dennard that capture vivid evocations from his upbringing as well as recent recollections from his young adulthood, including memories from life-altering occurrences such as the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the global protests that spurred in May 2020 due to the Minneapolis police murdering a 46-year-old black male named George Floyd. And Dennard's involvement as an organizer within the political organization Detroit Will Breathe, the organization that started the George Floyd protest in Detroit, has also influenced the way he conceptualized, developed, and constructed the album as a whole. His ambition for Flashback was to take his listeners through a rather personal, harmonious experience that gives individuals a visualization of these moments in time that Dennard encountered. He also aimed to make his compositions accessible to where the listener is able to escape the present moment and create a space that allows them to reminisce on their own lucid memories, whether good or bad. He's a trumpeter, composer, and bandleader, born and raised in the city of Detroit, Michigan. And it gives a lot more information, but I think that's good for now. Thanks to Kate Smith. She always sends me great artists for the show here. This is the voicemobile at WMFO. And we're going to go to something from Rebbe Soul.
Eliyahu HaTishbi. and me.
In Mashiach ben David.
In Mashiach ben David.
Israel, I'm 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 Israel, I'm